from the Intercontinental in Doral, beautiful Miami, Florida. Welcome to another great Hispanic radio podcast. We are at the Hispanic Radio Conference, the 10th conference, which is underway on Tuesday and Wednesday, March 12th and 13th. If you are listening to this after the conference, well, we had a great time. If you're listening to this as it is being distributed, well, the conference is definitely in full swing. And with me right now is an old friend from California who is here in South Florida to tell us a little bit about some of the growth he's seeing in Central California and in beautiful Reno, Nevada, over the Sierra Nevada. Mr. Gerardo Martinez, how are you, sir?
Doing fantastic, Adam. Thanks for inviting me to the podcast.
Now, you are the general manager for Laser Broadcasting, which is based in Oxnard, Ventura.
That's correct.
Where the focal point of the company's inception is. But you really oversee Central California and the Reno market, and that's a great area to have a dedicated podcast about. Only because it is the San Joaquin Valley, you're doing regional Mexican formats, or a singular format in Radio Laser, if you will, and still, there seems to be, at least from the Miami vantage point, the New York vantage point, the marketer's assessment of the Hispanic market, that regional Mexican, even after all the explanations and after all of the morphing to what it is today, is still kind of a second fiddle player to the less splashy, less sexy reggaeton, trap music, contemporary Latin programming that you see in some of the bigger markets. Obviously, we are experienced in the Hispanic market to know that, hey, regional Mexican is still a driver. And what better place to be to talk about regional Mexican formats as a driver than the San Joaquin Valley and up into Sacramento and over into Reno? This is really the bread and butter of how Hispanic radio has even been a success in the United States. And
Correct.
Here you are specializing in mainly this format. So let's begin the conversation with regional Mexican today, in your markets, what sort of growth are you seeing? Is it stagnant? Is it still increasing? You know, what is the state of regional Mexican, at least where you're operating, since it's such an important geographical area for the whole format?
Well, for us, regional Mexican is the perfect brand for the Central Valley. I mean, obviously, the heavy Mexican influence and population that it lives in the area of Sacramento and down the Central Valley, Bakersfield, and including Reno, the regional Mexican format is actually at this point growing and growing consistently. You know, there is obviously a segment of the population that enjoys the music that is reggaeton and has the Latino trap music, but regional Mexican is going to continue to grow in these markets because of not only just what these artists represent, but also, you know, the lyrics, the way it makes you feel about who you are as an individual. In other words, you listen with your heart, not with your ears necessarily. And although there's other music that can be in Spanish or can try to target the Latino community, regional Mexican seems to always be able to figure out a way to morph in today's Hispanic and be able to wrap its arms around multiple demographics, from the younger 18 and unders to those that are even 50 plus.
What other formats are you doing at your stations, or is it strictly one brand and regional Mexican for those that are unfamiliar with your company?
Yeah, so Radio Laser, the biggest footprint that it does have is in the regional Mexican format, the Radio Laser brand itself. We also have, in the market of Sacramento and in Reno, is a Latino pop contemporary format. So we're playing music from Shakira, Maná, Bad Bunny. I mean, it's a really big mix. And so we do acknowledge that not everybody enjoys regional Mexican at all or all the time. So we tend to find out that even when we look at the Nielsen data at times, there are situations where we have in certain demographics, Radio Laser may be the P1 and Latinos a P2 or vice versa. And that's very interesting, but I could see even for myself, I'm that type of individual who is dying to go see Manaa when they enter into Golden One later on this year. At the same time, I'm looking forward to Bandai MAS going into the Golden One in Sacramento, also here in a couple of months. So that Latino demographic exists. In other words, I'm not the only one. Those who can speak English fluently, y así nomás se cambia a español y uno está hablando español y totalmente vive el mundo en español, el mundo latino. So that's really what we, you know, ultimately, you know, are trying to accomplish with some of the different brands. We also have the La Mejor brand, which is playing music that is primarily potentially a 35, you know, 54 type of demographic, where we're targeting what may be music that even my parents would enjoy. At the same time, I enjoy it because I grew up listening to all that music as well. And so, and that is obviously beyond the regional Mexican. It could have an artist like Sonora Tropicana or some other type of artists that are not just necessarily of the regional Mexican brand. And then we also have the La Mexicana format, and that's much more of your ranchera type music, much more of the what would be accompanied to like Vicente Fernandez.
Right. And the classic regional Mexican that a lot of people, I think today in the marketing and advertising world, still associate with today's regional Mexican.
Correct.
But much
correct.
In the same way that the country music format has evolved,
right.
I would say regional Mexican has had a similar sort of evolution. Still, I'm wondering if there's a challenge when meeting with some national advertisers or even regional advertisers. Are they gun-shy? Yes, they see regional Mexican as being a driver. They see the Latino format as being the secondary station, even though those are the homes of the artists everybody seems to know, like Shakira.
Right.
So is there a explanation needed in this day and age, or is it a little bit easier to sell regional Mexican without having to go through the whole explanation of the audience it delivers and the power ratio and et cetera, et cetera?
I think in what we do, there's always that education component to it, because there are many who have bought into Spanish radio and have acknowledged the power of being able to be into a music format like regional Mexican and target the demographic that is listening to this music. But at the same time, there are many who are just turning themselves on to what is regional Mexican, what is Spanish language advertising in general for radio. And so I would say that, you know, like in my role as general manager, you know, my ultimate goal when I come into the office is to ensure that our stakeholders, our partners, our clients, our potential prospects that are in the markets that we serve understand really what power that we deliver. And when you look at markets like Fresno, Bakersfield, or Merced, where the population for Latino is 50 plus, that is, in essence, the quote-unquote general market, right?
Right.
And so, Josh, if you listening to this, I know you're going to say, you know, don't say the word general market, but it really is, you know, it's one of those things, because it is the fact that you or that some people still identify the Latino population as being this other demographic. It's we're your neighbors, you know, we're shopping in the same stores, you know, we're going, yes, to the carnicerias, but we're also stepping into a Panda Express to have lunch with the family, right? And so overall, there is still that education component that needs to be talked about on an ongoing basis, because it is changing, it is evolving, and the music format itself is one that is going to stick around for a long time to come in the regional Mexicans.
So when it comes to ad categories, is there one sticking out for you right now?
Automotive is always key. The start of the year we noticed was a little softer. There was a lot of hesitancy about what the numbers were saying as far as where the market is projected to be this year. However, we have seen at least a majority of our partners on the local side continue to figure out ways to partner with us even deeper, and looking for ways to innovate, looking for ways for us to be able to help them move units off, you know, off the lots. Casino marketing is also one that we have the privilege of in areas like Sacramento, like Reno, where there is casino entertainment. Mm-hmm. And the good thing is that we're seeing a lot of the casinos themselves also open their eyes up to where it's not just certain demographics that are ongoing, that are regular customers to casinos, but seeing this, they got the long tail view now, where they're saying, but who's going to be the ones coming into this casino? 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, if they're not necessarily going in there as much today, because it is about entertainment. It is about going there to go eat at the buffet, and they're, you know, working as a lot more Latino artists going into some of the venues that they have there. Overall, that's exciting because in the market like Sacramento, where it already has some tribal casinos that are there, like Jackson Rancheria and Red Hawk and some of the others, there's more coming in. You know, in the Sacramento area, there's three more new casinos coming into the region, and that Reno is only a couple hours away, and so is Lake Tahoe. So it's exciting to see these opportunities coming in because it does represent categories that are going to give radio a perfect fit as it relates to the radio component as well as the social media component.
Final question before we wrap up this podcast goes to the ratings. You know, there are always detractors out there. They look at the numbers and they go, this can't be right. Language weighting seems to be a continued issue over the last several years in working with Nielsen. There are those out there that question the percentage of Spanish dominant versus English dominant in some of the key markets that Laser operates in. What can you say in terms of those that speak Spanish as their primary language still in this day in 2019, with all the noise out there about acculturation and more bilingualism and births overtaking immigration as a population driver, thus, of course, they're going to speak more English. It seems that a lot of that is just noise, that there's still very much a dominance in terms of use of Spanish as an everyday household language, and then in turn using Spanish language media as a main communication device and entertainment source.
Yeah, so that concern is always, you know, that is brought up from the side of, you know, from looking at it from the advertiser or advertising agency point of view. I see that concern because you say, well, you know, there is a lot more U.S.-born Latinos that are growing up, speaking English, acculturated into what is U.S. Hispanic media, where there is, you know, a lot more, there are many artists who are out there that are English dominant or maybe crossover artists or what have you, and then maybe that there is the affinity to music that is non-regional Mexican, but I consider myself even in that part of it, because I have parents who were born in Mexico. I was actually born here in the United States, grew up in California, listened to a lot of English language music, but speaking Spanish in the home. Over time, you search and seek for that identity component, and it seems like the music, when you start listening, when you listen heavily or listen a lot more to the Spanish language music, like regional Mexican, there's something that evokes something inside of you that really gives you that connection as to who you are and who what your culture is. That you know, I go back to what I said earlier, you listen with your heart, not necessarily with your ears. So maybe you don't understand all the words if you grew up speaking primarily English, but there's that connection to it. And there's, I think that connection just does not go away. So when you look at the ratings, you look at the numbers, yes, Nielsen has some challenges in trying to measure effectively as to what people listen to, because yeah, there's many Latinos who listen to country all day long, or that's all they listen to, or you know, in English, right? Maybe not necessarily in country Spanish and the regional Mexican side. So, but we take it as the more that we can work with companies like Nielsen to try to make sure that there is proper measurement to give us an idea as to what the listening habits are, and can better help us fine-tune our product to ensure that we are super serving our target demographic.
Okay. Well, with that, I want to thank you, and thank you for coming to Miami. This is Gerardo Martinez, and he is the general manager for Laser Broadcasting, working in the Northern California markets in which Laser is operating in. So enjoy your stay here in South Florida. Enjoy the nice, warm sun. And if you're not here, well, shame on you. And, you know, we're having a great conference, and it's a pleasure to be a part of this. It's nice day, and we're talking about the power of Hispanic radio. So we hope you enjoyed this podcast, copyright 2019. Streamline Publishing, all rights reserved, distributed by the Radio and Television Business Report and our partners at Radio Inc. and HispanicAd.com. Usted te hace un buen día.
Gracias, Adam.
Okay, have a great day, everybody.